Howdy, and welcome to Outside the Box, where we don't need college to make our country more democratic. Today's topic is a college to abolish. Between now and November, we'll be hearing a lot about the so-called battleground states. What that means is, if you don't live in one of those, like me, your state won't get much attention from presidential candidates or the media. Candidates in the media will be spending most of their time in states where the vote is expected to be close, and little where the contest is a foregone conclusion. That's because of an anachronism called the Electoral College, where whoever has the most votes in the state gets all the electoral votes. The Electoral College was created in 1787 because those in power simply did not trust the public to make wise decisions in electing a president. Some wanted the president to be appointed by the U.S. Senate, at that time also an appointed body. Well, there were reasons, questionable though they might have been, for an appointed president over 200 years ago. It seems completely anti-democratic to do that today, given how much power the president has. There are many good arguments to abolish the Electoral College system and choose a president based on who gets the most popular votes. Some claim that the college reduces voter turnout, or that electors in some states are not bound to actually vote for the candidate with the most votes. The Electoral College helps to maintain a two-party system, since a maverick party or candidate can easily get 20-25% of the popular vote and yet wind up with zero electoral votes, making their name on the ballot seem meaningless. The college gives more weight to small and rural states, since every state gets two votes for its two senators, in addition to the number of representatives it has. So, Maine and New Hampshire get four electoral votes, while a state with twice the population gets only six. But in my view, the primary reason for getting rid of the Electoral College is that it defies the egalitarian concept of one person, one vote. That's obvious when looking at presidential elections over our country's history. Four times, a president was chosen without a plurality of votes. Three of those were in the 1800s, John Quincy Adams, Rutherford Hayes, and Benjamin Harrison. The most recent one was George W. Bush, who got over 500,000 votes less than Al Gore in 2000. It's hard for me to think of this country as a democracy if the votes of only 538 people really count in choosing a person with so much power and influence. As one Electoral College critic stated, "We just need to keep repeating, one person, one vote, over and over again. One person, one vote. One person, one vote. One person, one vote." A group called National Popular Vote has encouraged legislation in each state that would require electors to vote for whichever candidate had the highest popular vote nationally. If passed by all 50 states, nine have so far, these bills will backhandedly but effectively ensure that the candidate with the most votes will be elected, even while the Electoral College remains in our Constitution. Do you think the Electoral College is good for our country in any way? I'm Larry Danziger, just hoping this college will get shut down.